Friday afternoon deploy can't figure out why this code is written this way or how it ever worked, but we're not going to touch it. So I have to say this because, and I'm doing this on air so that our listeners can hear it. But like, I know we've done a lot of talking about Zoom and security, but when you joined as a phone caller, Tyrell, because normally you're in as like a regular guest, but you're second tier dialed in today. It put you in the waiting room, right? But I don't know if you heard it, Alan. For like 1 second, there was like 1 second of audio from Tyrell's phone call that cut out, and then I got the prompt for you to join from the waiting room, which leads me to believe that the waiting room doesn't actually work and it's some sort of client-side implementation. Like, the audio was coming to my computer. My computer accidentally played it to me. There's some Zoom security theater going on here or something like that.
Yeah, I heard they're not going to encrypt into free calls anymore.
Yeah. You got to pay for that.
Yeah.
Their stocks LCFBI doubled.
Listens to everything.
Yeah. Why on earth would they give things away for free when they have the world by the horn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their stock's up 2x. You know, they don't need the freemium model. They don't need the free trials anymore.
I think they'll still have the free account. It's just you don't get the encryption off the account.
I guess that's what I mean, is they don't need like feature complete free trials anymore. They're like, pay me. You know, that's what everyone's doing. Everything was free for a second because of coronavirus. It was like, hey, you're stuck at home? Free HBO. We're giving away free HBO. HBO is giving away episodes of like Sopranos and Silicon Valley. Come watch that stuff. And we'll give it away for free. And for an indeterminate amount of time. They didn't say how long. Just free HBO. The world's a tough place. The actual amount of time was like 3.5 weeks. And they were like, fuck you, pay me. which is what happened is I finished season 2 of Silicon Valley. That's how far behind I was because I don't buy HBO. And then I picked it up like maybe 2 weeks later and was like, I'll watch season 3. I was going to binge it. And it was just like, nope, you got to pay for that. Everyone's dealing with it. It used to be, it's like coronavirus, man. Can you hook me up? And they're like, everyone was like, yeah, sure. And now it's just like, fuck that. Everybody's dealing with coronavirus. Yeah. You're not special.
I saw someone post that like, they're like, this version of COVID-19. So I missed the Tiger King and stimulus check portion. of coronavirus.
That part was better.
Yeah, yeah. Arguably, yeah. I felt like we were all more unified. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now we're kind of on the downstretch of it all.
Now it's just like,
I think. Well,
go ahead, Tyrell.
It's just kind of like this is. I was just going to say like it's become like this is. We're normalizing to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But up some. And with probably some would argue that more than we should it, but they're just like, okay, now that the initial shock of all this is over, it's helped ease your pain a little.
Mm-hmm.
Now back to the brutal truth of reality.
Yeah, back to work and wear a fucking mask, would you? Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a mask right now.
Where are you at?
I'm not wearing a mask. I'm in a car on my way to the White River.
Oh, there you go. Excellent.
Gonna go. Do some fishing.
Now, most people use boats for that, just so you're aware.
Mm.
I hope to get on a boat.
Mm.
We'll see.
I got some great outdoors last weekend. It's Alan tells me that it's brutally humid today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's savage out there.
Yeah.
Out here, I guess, now.
Yeah.
But the Elks Club is rolling, though. They got that pull open. They're just like, Come swim in your privilege, Elks Club members.
I can't believe that, like, public pools were one of the stated, like, there was a whole opening policy dedicated just to public pools in Arkansas. Like, they probably, I don't know how many, like, different reopening policies they had, but it was like a dozen of them. It was like, here's how restaurants are going to do it on this day, and here's how, you know, religious institutions are going to do it on this day. And then, like, one of them was specifically public pools. And I was like, that's the last place I want to be right now, is in a public pool. And it's one of the first things that reopened here.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Supposedly, it's actually quite challenging for the virus to survive in a pool setting because of the heat and the chlorine and things like that.
Yeah, but what if, like, a kid, like, sneezes right straight to your face hole?
The main problem is the bathroom.
And the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's the main problem, the bathrooms.
See.
Well, that's the main problem with public pools all the time.
Yeah, and that's true.
Casey, a sneeze to your dome is going to be a problem if you're in a pool or not.
I understand that. Let me think of it this way. If anyone's ever been to the Wilson Park public pool, which is the only public pool that we go to, it's just impossible not to have 1,000 people an inch away from your face the whole time. That's what that experience is like. So I compare it to that. You know, your neighborhood pool, probably a little more chill. We're in the South, and let's be honest, this is where people think they can just outman the virus by just toughening it, by not being a sissy, you know?
Probably just get it on your skin, and then it'll go off in the water and dissolve because it's chlorine-filled water.
Especially if you're wearing camouflage.
That makes it
hard to find you. Yeah. And you can just give it a stern, look, and it says this guy knows he means business.
You wear some mossy oak and put some deer piss behind your ear. You're fine.
It's sad. Sad state of the world.
Yeah. They did say they did say it survives not so well on surface areas, though, now I found out.
Yeah.
The heat and the direct sunlight help, for sure, in summertime.
I know, that's why it's like they were telling everybody, clean everything. We need 500 people at Walmart to just clean stuff. How's that working out for you?
Well, good for those guys, I guess.
I don't know. I haven't been in a Walmart in a long time.
No,
I plan to keep it that way.
It was just people cleaning stuff constantly. Like, they would just, you would go over the self-checkout, and they'd be like, go over this one, I just cleaned it. Okay, and then they just constantly be cleaning them.
Yep. I had heard different things. It depends on which store and, like, obviously different policies and stuff. But I'm using this whole situation as an opportunity to just snob out fully and never go to Walmart ever again. Which, for our listeners, that's a big deal because this is Walmart land. If you don't know already, you know, we're each of us right now, except maybe Tyrell, who's driving towards the wilderness, is within 30 miles of the Walmart world headquarters.
Oh, I'm within, like, freaking 5 seconds.
She's within sneezing distance. Willow is within coronavirus distance of the Walmart home office. So I'm excited about. Now, it's not that I won't patronize them in more ways than one. We do grocery pickup.
Yeah.
And that's legit.
Some people love Walmart.
Yeah,
a lot of people
love to go there. Yeah. They love to go to different Walmarts.
Yeah, I have those people in my family. That's true. Yeah, that are just like, if they don't Yelp, but if they did, they would, like, review the Sonics in different towns. Like, this is one of the best Sonics. This was not my favorite crushed ice at this particular Sonic. The one in Blytheville is way better.
This one, they put the mustard on there. They're not shy about
it. That's right. I easily put it in my top 25 Sonics, period. Yep.
You're obviously talking about the Z Queen Sonic. Mina Sonic, excuse me.
Oh, the Mina Sonic? I'm trying to think if I've been to the Mina Sonic. The only Sonic I've been to on US 71 is the one in Waldron. On the way to Meenan. If you've ever, the Waldron Sonic is a that's a solid, because I grew up in Hot Springs, so when I go to the hometown, that's a perfect midpoint pit stop. And it's easily in my top 25 Sonics.
One of the unique things about Mena, Arkansas is they have their own local Sonic called Cruisers. Because like Sonic was there, and Sonic was just like, Sonic's like, nah, we're not going to be here anymore. Who knows why? You can speculate. And they left, and someone bought the Sonic and turned it into Mena Sonic. And then that went really well. And then someone from Sonic drove through Mena and was just like, hey, that place is open. They're doing good. We should start a Sonic here again. So now they have another
Sonic across the street.
and a non-Sonic Sonic.
Yeah. That's funny.
That's hilarious.
They should have called it like Monic or Mena Sonic.
It's like,
but no, it's Cruisers.
It's like fast food hermit crabs. Like one, exactly one of them left their shell behind. We have one of those here. We have the, what is it? Donut. It's like literally the name of the restaurant is Donuts and Kolaches, I believe. And it's in an old Sonic.
That is Donuts.
Donuts, Donuts?
It's called Donuts, Donuts.
Nice.
But they're a donut place in an old Sonic. It's not like a non-Sonic Sonic.
Correct. Sonic. Yeah, they're just using the husk. They're just using the shell. Old Sonic.
No, I do applaud that. I applaud the use of old buildings like that. It's unfortunate when they're so very clearly what they used to be.
Yeah.
You know who's done that more impressively than anyone I know of in Fayetteville? Teptai.
Oh, Teptai.
Was in a gas station. And they have done everything they can to hide the fact that used to be a
gas station. I didn't know that was a gas station.
It was a gas station. And then eventually you go, wait a minute. I think it's like when you go to the bathroom, all of a sudden you go, wait a minute.
Truck stop.
Am I in an old gas station?
Yeah. That makes sense. I thought you were going to say Boca. The thing with Boca is that they've done a decent job, but you can still tell you're in a Backyard Burgers. And and that is more evident when you're eating a $30 a plate meal.
It's legit good Italian food.
It's super good. It's super good.
It's top five Italian in Fayetteville.
And I'm not hating on them for opening in an old Backyard Burgers. I'm just saying that like if it were something else, you'd notice the Backyard Burgers less. But like it feels a little strange when you're ordering that high end of Italian food for Northwest Arkansas, and you can like still kind of see the little grill logo and the columns and the corners of the building, you know.
The menus just have old Backyard Burger stuff scratched out and like fancy Italian roots.
Yeah, exactly.
Fancy Italian recipes on it.
Oh, that's not. Yeah, we don't do the bacon cheeseburger anymore. That's actually pasta limone. I was across the street from that. Oh man, our audience hasn't heard from us in 2 weeks, and we apologize. And now you get to just listen to us talk about Dairy Queen used to be in our town. But I have to point this out for you guys. I don't know if you've noticed, but you know the crazy guy that bought the old AQ Chicken House, the AQ Chicken Express or whatever, and that whole thing went the New American, it was called, that all went to shit. That building has been bought. Tyrell is going to bring
who
up
bought
the,
it?
I wrote a menu for it. Got bought by a bank. There's a bank that's going to open a branch there. And do you know what's right next to that abandoned building? A fucking abandoned bank.
Yeah.
An Arvest. Yeah. And it's been sitting there abandoned for 2 years. And I was like, God, you think the bank would buy the old bank next to instead of the restaurant to open a bank branch?
I don't know what it is about banks. But so here in Elkins, of course, we've got our Sonic, which is my favorite Sonic because it's 5 minutes from here.
Right. I haven't eaten at that Sonic.
We've got... We've got 1, 2, 3 banks and they're, or at least two, and they're putting in a third one.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's, we got three and they're putting in a fourth one. I can't remember, but we got a lot of banks here.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a brand new one. They're putting up a building that's going to be by the Harps, I think. I don't know what it is about that. Maybe all the ranchers and farmers way off out.
You know, the small town bank motif is very strong. I get approached by bankers a lot, being in business. And so, and a lot of them, like, that's the angle. They're just like, man, you don't want one of them big old city banks with people that don't know who he is. You want a small time banker. You want to know the president of the bank. You want to be able to call him up. You want to go have brunch at his house on Sunday and talk about
your money if you want to.
come on out to the barn. We'll show you which hole we got your money is buried in. This it's actually in an old igloo cooler, and so they play on that small time thing. And so, you know, as the one bank in town in a smaller town like Elkins grows, you know, It gets too mainstream. It's just like, that bank's too big. They got safety deposit boxes, not even in a barn.
Of course, we got the Arvest. That's the Walmart of banks around here.
Bank of Walmart. It's the Bank of Lofty, too.
Yeah.
Until I can find it.
Yeah, it's the Bank of Fraley.
Until one of these small-time bankers finally convinces me to move our money out of Arvest and into their, you know, shack.
I do not like Sonic.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. We got a serious delay on Willow's End.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, though. I'm not a huge fan, except for Cheddar Peppers. There's a soft spot in my heart for Cheddar Peppers, and they're awful for you, and probably awful in every way, really. But like, it's emotionally, I'm attached to them. If I'm road tripping,
I feel like we've turned into that YouTube channel with the guy who dresses like a hitman that reviews fast food.
I don't know that one. I'm gonna have to look that up.
Let me get to a food review guy.
Does he have like a barcode on his forehead and he's wearing a suit? Like that hitman?
No.
That's my favorite.
Willow, help me out here.
Yeah.
The hitman that does reviews for food.
Report of the week.
Never heard of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is it anything like Gas Station Mike?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Oh, it's way better than a gas station, Mike.
Oh, man.
Seriously.
No, but Willow, is there nothing redeeming on the Sonic menu? Not one thing?
The gravy is good.
I don't know if I've ever had the gravy at Sonic.
It's been a while. I've had it with, like, the chicken tenders.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is all right, yeah. But Sonic's always, like, it's never great.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm never really disappointed.
You
I
know
guess,
what
I
you're
know
getting.
What I'm gonna
That's
get.
Right. It's like a beat ups. It's like a beat ups. Yeah. It's the same
you know
shit.
What I'm gonna
no
get.
Matter what town you're in.
Right. Right. Exactly. And then you know, with the one that's like 5 minutes from here, there's always I don't want to cook. I didn't really get anything out. Like Sonic. Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good runner up.
All right.
Report
that's
of
the our week. Food segment.
Yeah, exactly. I was raining it. I haven't found it yet. I'm gonna research it, and I will.
Report of the week. We'll move into our dank meme segment, and we'll talk about review bro and report of the week.
Okay, sounds good. Dank memes. Fire us off. We should talk about programming too. Anybody has anything to say about computers and code, I don't.
It's all I think about. So it's like I'm just thinking about other things.
There's one tragic flaw in the entire concept of this show, which is that it's the very last thing we do at the end of the week. Which means, at any given point, we start recording the show, we are at peak sick of this shit. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys.
We're headed to the woods to go fish.
Yeah, Tyrell's just like given up on electricity, like period. And we can't stop talking about fast food. And Tyrell and I spent an hour right before this trying to debug a memory leak in a celery worker, which we now believe is not even a memory leak. It's just a
memory.
Yeah,
that's just a memory.
Yeah. It's like
What? It's just a footprint. It just
yeah. The memory's not leaking. It's just a fuckload of memory usage.
I mean, that can check out because I'm running the one instance locally, and it is, you know, about half the memory that we're seeing used out in the wild like that with the app. So
I compared it just for funsies. I compared the memory footprint of the same style celery workers that are running in Delegate. And they're running on the same type of infrastructure, same machines. It's on Kubernetes. And it's just a much more simple application. Doesn't have nearly as many dependencies. 68 megs of RAM. Is what a Celery process uses there. In the application that Tyrell and I were debugging, 2.5 gigs. So we're talking about multiple orders of magnitude here. Very strange and frustrating.
Yeah.
Yep. I even told we store those images as ECR, like those Docker images in ECR. I pulled the Docker image straight from ECR. Like, do we have a request? The Docker image got like something weird going on. And no, it doesn't inflate that big when I run it locally. So it is a very surly beast.
I'm wondering. I know we're kind of doing diagnostic now. Tune in
while we diagnose the production memory usage.
We were just talking about code.
Yeah, so. That's what they get. You know, you didn't want to hear about Sonic and Elkins, so you get to listen to this.
So write us your suggestions on what you think it is. But I wonder if, you know, how much of it is. I know there's some Panda calls, like Panda data frames getting instantiated outside of methods and outside of.
I was looking for that. I was specifically Komen code looking for precisely that.
I wonder if that stuff's just sitting there in memory and how big that is.
If that file gets imported. Through some indirect attest. Yeah, tell me where. Show me.
Let's start reading lines.
Just don't say the client name and don't post the GitHub address in the show notes.
We'll talk about what it does or any of that. this is a cat posting.
I'll tell you what the app does. While you're finding that, I'll give the audience the explanation of the app. This app is a giant memory paperweight. It's got a bunch of code in it that runs at boot of the process, and it just inflates to it helps you just discover the memory constraints of your Kubernetes cluster, and it's very, very good at it.
It's so great at it that I put a memory restriction on that pod or in the namespace of those resources of 2 gigs, could have been played to 3 gigs to see if it would just scale down.
Yep.
And as soon as I fired it up, it unpacked like Clump from Nutty Professor and knocked itself over and just sat there in a crash loop trying to stand up. And then it hit that two gig memory restriction and fall back over.
We're going to convert this over to Lofty's second in-house product, which is going to be another service product. You pay a monthly fee for it. And it's a very effective unit test of the OOM code in Kubernetes. So it will prove that your OOM restrictions are working.
I literally saw OOM kill for the first time in the console or in the rancher metrics. And I was like, first time I've seen like literally that. I know that's what's been happening, but it's good to be like, hey buddy, what do you know is happening? It's definitely what we think is happening as far as the computers.
Tyrell, do you remember the I'm trying to make this.
I shared it with you there, Casey.
I'm trying to be vague here, but do you remember the thing that we looked at and said, "Oh yeah, that's a thing that people have been changing, but it's not an Celery task." You know, there were some new imports in there. That's where Tyrell found these data frames that aren't encapsulated with a method. And since the memory footprint of the Celery workers and the actual like WSGI workers are similar, it leads us to believe that, you know, it may not be just in the Celery code where this is happening. So
I think it's in the app just sitting there.
Now production is not this is
a Friday afternoon deploy.
I'm telling you, I'm looking right now because this is a staging only issue, not affecting production. But that kind of potentially checks out here. You guys can't hear it, but the audience is getting to listen to all the dings and bells from my terminal as I try and talk and find paths at the same time. How does get don't yeah, no, don't, that's don't, a, don't trying to tab burp, complete? development master that file. That file hasn't changed, Alan.
Okay.
File hasn't. Wait. Let me. Wait. I might have my path. Oh, it has changed.
Oh.
Okay. That's suspect. I'm writing that down. We'll look at that after the show. But you know, that I brought that up to say, yeah, we get it is possible to be very sick of this stuff by Friday. Maybe that's why we talk about other things.
Depending, well, at least we start that way.
It depends on if we ended on a win or not.
Yeah,
we're going on this one. Tyrell and I are going into a weekend going like, damn, it got away. You know, we hoped that we weren't, because you know, you guys know how it is.
Yeah,
it sits in the back of your mind. It's a little nugget in the back of your head. Just your whole weekend's going to have something poking at you.
Because you can't come back Monday not remembering anything about it, so you got to kind of hold it there a little bit, and then you know.
It sits in memory like a bloated celery worker.
Yeah, that you can't kill. Yeah. And every once in a while, it spews out some debug log, and you think like, oh, I just had an idea. And then you're tempted to go, you know, fiddle with it on Saturday. Yep. You have the temptation of, but I want to try one thing because maybe it'll fix it and then maybe it'll go away and I don't have to think about it tomorrow, you know?
Right.
Yep.
And then no one else will have to think about it either. It's, you know, it's always the,
doing the world, paying it forward, you know.
Yeah. The other night I was explaining to my wife how I write comments. Like I had something I was thinking about in my code. And then I kind of laughed to myself, and I was like, it's always funny. I get to this point in the night where I don't really write new code, but I have ideas, and then I don't want to lose that. So I just write these big, long comments that usually I end up deleting it more often than not. But it'll just be a message to myself the next day. I come back through. And I did think about that last night. Yeah, I'm going to try that. You know,
I left a note for myself in the delegate source code on scheduled tasks that I found today that was like, hey man, you should probably think about time zones. I saw it and I looked at it and I just deleted it today. I just deleted that comment and I'm deploying it to production right now. Pull request, open, development to master, clicking the button. And that comment is gone. I don't know. I have to think about it. It's a weird thing. It's, you know, it's dealing in dates rather than date times. So there's not a time component. The problem is it's a periodic task that dispatches. Let me take a step back. In the application, it's a celery periodic task. So once per day, it runs a dispatch task that goes and collects all of the application processes that people have defined to delegate and the ones that are on a recurring schedule and determines whether or not it needs to spawn them for that day. Like, okay, it's Monday. Let's go get everyone's weekly Monday tasks and spawn those. The problem is that depending on where you're standing on the face of the earth, when that task runs, it might not be Monday at your house. It might be Sunday. And so because of that, I was thinking of it as like, you know, we run this task once a day to spawn the daily task, but that'll never work. We're going to have to make it work globally. It'll have to run hourly and basically spawn everything that is midnight for that time zone.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to start organizing. It's going to have to follow the sun around the earth and run once an hour and say, okay, it's Monday now where you live. Let's check all of your tasks and see what's there. So I don't have to do anything with date time manipulation since we're only dealing with dates. And so I think the way we might end up doing it is just storing the time zone on the task itself. Just this is a scheduled process that runs every Monday for this time zone. And then just check it that way.
Should we set the time zone on the org or should we pull it off the browser?
I don't know. I think it should be
make the user set a time zone. Like my company,
in this time zone. That's right. I think you have to pick.
Yeah.
It's the browser, because maybe I need that task to run in this time zone, but I'm doing some business stuff over on the other side.
Correct.
Of the country.
Yeah. Or even more so, I mean, you might have your, depending on people, how people use the app, we don't have like any sort of divisional structure within your organization, which is something I vow to not touch after certain projects we've worked on with organizational structures. Just make it real simple. There's an org and your people are in it. But that said, like, if you're a big enough company, you may have certain tasks that people want to run, you know, if it's just a process that only the US team uses. Then you might want not at an org level, like across the org, you might want individual processes to run on a certain time zone. So,
well, different users could be in different time zones.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. And so, and this is something
time zones,
and it's running server side. So, you know, any one task might be associated, quote unquote, with a dozen users that might use that task or be assigned things from that task. And so that part's a little tricky. You know, there are due dates on the individual items. This is the can of worms I opened. And then I thought, you know what? It's a beta product. It's only got a handful of users. They're all based in the US. And I deleted the time zone comment. And I thought, well, no, we've made it when everyone's bitching that the time zones don't work right. And when we have a bunch of people paying us money and they're like, hey, fix the time zones, then we'll go fix it. That's the plan.
No problem. Yeah.
Champagne problem.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, like, if we're just looking at time zones, if we're looking at stuff by day, to over-fixate on time zones is premature optimization, because realistically, like, it's a day thing and not a time thing. We're kicking off stuff on Monday.
Yeah.
Not Monday at 5 a.m.
That's what really is going to happen, is your Monday your Monday process, for some people, might get kicked off Sunday night. It'll still be dated for Monday. It'll say Monday. The due dates will be relative to Monday. It'll just get spawned early, because it's going to get spawned Monday server time.
When Tony sends us his task, it's going to hit us Sunday night. Like, I'm going to be going to bed, and my Monday morning tasks from Tony are going to show up, and I'm going to be like, oh, man. I'm going to go to bed. I know Tony needs me to do this.
So it won't affect Tony, but that's only because he's like 2 hours out. He's like Atlantic time. Oh, no. Wrong Tony. Our patron Tony. Yes, it will affect him for sure. Sorry, Tony. You will be affected. I thought you meant Tony, our contractor. Over in the
East Coast.
Yeah, he's East Coast time, or maybe 2 hours off depending on the daylight time. And they spawn at 6 a.m. Central time. Which gives it a good mid-morning footprint for the entire, you know, continental U.S. Sometime between 4 and 6 and 8 a.m. local time. So, anyway, that's how I do comments. I leave little notes for myself, and, you know, I may or may not do anything with that.
Yeah. That's kind of the idea.
I love good comments.
It's a comment. It's totally non-committal. Like, it's just, I had an idea.
It's, I will, like,
look at it in the morning when I've had coffee, and I'll reevaluate.
I write code comments like it's the commentary track on a Blu-ray. You know what I mean? It's not stage directions. It's just like reflections on, like, oh, this was fun. Let me tell you the story behind why this is the way it is, you know.
I'll come back and go like, what is this crap? Who wrote this?
Exactly.
No, it was you, and this is why you did it.
Yeah, I leave the commentary check that's like, Martin Sheen was so fucked up in this scene. Like, he couldn't even stand up, and that's why, you know, all of these arguments are exploded out into a dictionary instead of, you know, so, like, that's how I use comments. And I
would have loved to have had that commentary from when we went doing forensics earlier this week.
Yeah, that would have been helpful. We did code forensics is also fun. I don't know if anyone ever does it just for fun. Willow should do it too, but Alan, you should definitely do it. Go deep back into the history of the project you're working on. Way back. There is shit that you forgot.
Yeah, I know. And some of it came back to me just a little bit when Tyrell was like walking back and telling the team about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That you know the model called data sets in that app? That didn't used to be a thing.
No.
There weren't data sets at all. You could upload data. But yeah.
The best thing was when we're helping someone, I'll be so vague as to maybe they work on the project, maybe they don't. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we're helping someone walk through it, and we get to a point, and I'm in the meeting while I'm kind of in the background, like helping this guy, and I'm keeping up with the meeting. And then I mentioned something about it, and Tyrell's like, "Yeah, I got some time if you want to, you know, send him over my way." And it's funny because then about 5 minutes later, Tyrell's like, "You got a second for a call?" And we jump on a call, and like I was betting he was going to have the same question I did, which was how does this work and why does it work this way?
Exactly. That's what he called me and asked me the exact same question.
I got that far, and then I told the dude, I was like, "Look, I'm gonna finish up this meeting. I'll set up a call if you want to walk through it. Honestly, I'm gonna have to read this code myself, kind of look through it. We haven't been in there in a while."
Yeah.
And I was telling Tyrell, I told him that and figured I could wing it and figure it out, like while I was in there looking at it. And then Tyrell and I both scratched our heads,
looking at it, going, "Huh?
Why is it like this?
Yeah, that's weird.
Is there a reason?"
Yeah.
I'm like, let's pull Austin in. Ask him.
It was a white paper on tech debt. Like it was. I was just like everyone saw this wall with a dead squirrel in it, and everyone just like, "I think it's load bearing, nobody touch it."
Yeah.
Just bear with the stink. And so everyone worked around the
stinky.
Yeah.
Like a mass wall.
Because we're scared if we tear it down, we're gonna cave the roof in.
And I started having,
why do you guys all have Vicks under your nose? Like, oh man, this here.
Yeah.
Anytime you go in that room, remember, don't touch that wall. You're gonna want to, but we don't know why it's there. So
I was looking at the code, and I was, and Tyrell was asking me the same questions, and then I started having, as far as I could tell, potentially false memories. I likened it to the mandala effect, where I was remembering things like because Tyrell and I were collectively remembering things that probably didn't happen, but for some reason, you know, it was like the movie Shazam. And if you're not familiar with that, I don't know which it is, Shazam or Kazam. One of them's a real movie, one of them's not.
And bad than one, Shaq's in the other. Yeah, good luck figuring it out.
Yeah, and I can't remember which is the real. I think there's not an actual Sinbad as a genie movie, is the thing.
Yep. Kazam is the one with the kid who's a superhero.
Okay, all right.
Who turns into adult.
So a lot of people on the internet, though, all collectively remember this, and this phenomenon's known as the Mandala Effect, where people
he died in prison.
Yeah.
But he died of old age at home, I guess.
Exactly. That's the reference, but a lot of people remember it the other way, and for some reason it's a thing that I don't know what the explanation for it is. It's plausible enough that it just gets people convinced, you know. So yeah, that's what I likened it to, because I was sitting there going like, I kind of remember maybe that working weird, and it was because there was like because what was happening was there's a thing
you
that
dreamed up some weird Ajax call that was
yeah exactly. There's a side effect, right? So what happens is essentially there's a side effect that doesn't run when something gets created. It only runs when it gets updated, right? That's the root thing in the app that we're trying to figure out. And there's no good reason that we can tell from where we're standing today that you wouldn't just run the side effect on create, that you would only run it when it changes. And so armed with that information, and I'm trying to reverse engineer a reason why it happened that way, I start remembering there being a modal dialogue in which, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, there was a modal Because before we had that page, you had to like give it a name and hit save, and that created it. But it wasn't until you went, then it directed you to a page to edit it, and then you could make the change that you needed to run the side effect. And so it was only on update. You're shrugging your shoulders, going like, "That sounds possible." Yeah. No, yeah. I read the fucking source code. I went back for. I spent like 2 hours. That never existed. There was never a modal. There was never a create data set dialogue. In fact, when I got in there, I looked and I went back to when that code was written, and that data model didn't even exist. I was like, oh, that's right. That's right. All of this was attached to that. We had this big global, we had a big kind of monolith model in there. Anyway, so none of that was real, but Tyrell and I are both, I'm running it. I'm leading it. I'm feeding him information going like, yeah, don't you remember it was like that? And he's like, yeah, oh yeah, I guess. Yeah, that seems, that makes sense, you know?
In our defense.
Code forensics is fun.
How many conversations do we have that are just speculative, though? And then that's what we're trying to filter out, like, because we probably talked about a modal there one time.
That there were so many damn modals in that app in the beginning. You know what I did find? There was one component at that point. I mean, this was pretty far into the prototyping phase of that app, but it was basically app.view in Vue.js, and most of the things that it was all about data collection at that point, and there wasn't much presentation back to you. It was just taking in input as a data collection tool. And so it was basically one big app, and all of the data input happened in a modal that all was already there in the DOM, and it just got displayed when you hit a button. And so, it was totally different. I mean, I don't think there was even it was barely a router involved. You couldn't really route to different. It was very early in the project's evolution, which was also skewed in my mind. I don't know why, but in my head, I was like, you couldn't even upload files in that thing until, you know, like months into development because we were working on all these other things. I went back and was like, no, that was like the second thing that you could do was upload a file, which makes sense. That was the whole point. But it all makes sense in retrospect. But like, man, I was making up all kinds of stuff. That's what happens when you go look at an app, you know. 8 months ago, I guess, about is when it started. And a lot has changed. And your memories get all skewed. You start remembering things being different colors and, you know.
As much as the scope is creeped on this thing, of course it's going to feel that way.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
The creep.
Yeah, I don't... This tying it back to documentation, I'll say this, same project. I like good commentary and code. I leave a lot of comments behind. Again, I leave behind the sort of breadcrumbs of what I was thinking at the time, which for me is helpful. I don't know if it's as helpful for other people, but that's kind of the style of my commentary. It's like, let's do this.
It's hard for me to recognize when Casey's been there.
Yeah. You can see that. Okay, Casey wrote this code. Yep, you can see it. And so, but I do write that. I write it in a sort of narrative way. We're going to do this because we have this side effect, or there was a bug here, and so it was changed for this reason. I believe in that. I believe in writing good commentary. I don't believe in the notion of, if you've ever heard the phrase, good code documents itself. I think that's BS. I think that's a lie people tell themselves because they don't want to write documentation.
Mm-hmm.
However, on same project, I was having a, as usually happens, I was having an account management style conversation with the business people over that project that turned into talking about technical stuff in the weeds, which is not what I'm supposed to be doing, but I did help write some of that code, and I do know how it works, so I was in there having that conversation. I was being asked about documentation on the project as a whole. And to Tyrell's point about the scope creep, they're just like, what's the state of the documentation of everything? And I was just like, the state of the documentation is that the requirements change every 30 seconds and the implementation changes just as rapidly. And there's no point in writing thorough end-to-end documentation until it's a more stable set of requirements, right? It's being iterated on rapidly. We could spend a lot of time writing very thorough documentation about the, actually they were asking about like code level documentation. I was like, but the implementations are going to change and then keeping the documentation up to date will be a full-time job. And like, as I was explaining this, the CTO jumps in and he says, well, you know, it's all in GitHub and Good Code documents itself. And I'm just, and he's saying this in my defense, and that's a thing I don't believe in, but I sure as hell was just like, yeah, exactly. That's what I was trying to say.
He's right.
Yeah, totally. Yep. Yes, Mr. Client. Mr. Client, I couldn't agree more. left it at that.
In that same vein, I know, especially when I started out, you know, I was all about doc strings and stuff because I was like, oh, we, you know, we could put it through Sphinx or the thing that, you know, will make documentation out of this. The best is when you when you do well document your code, but it's like that. The requirements change every 30 seconds, and then you come back to a doc string, and you're trying to figure out what this method does, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
What model is that?
Like, it says it takes arguments. It takes arguments that it doesn't take. It doesn't take any arguments at all, but the doc string says it... Yeah. Takes like seven positional arguments. Where the hell did they go?
And then you leave it because you're like,
I don't know what it's supposed to do. I'm not going to change it. You know, exactly.
It's going to make it do the thing I needed to do right now.
It's the dead squirrel in the wall. It's perfect. You're just like, I don't know. It smells. I'm not touching it. And you and you also invent a story. You're like, well, I did. I do remember hearing something kind of rattling around in that wall one time. So that checks out.
Your squirrel, then.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't ask, but I thought maybe we had to.
I didn't write this code. I didn't read the story. I don't know what the acceptance criteria was. For all I know, it's supposed to smell like a dead animal in here. I didn't write the requirements, you know. and I can't just go punching holes in the wall every time I smell something. choked you up there. Yeah. It's tech debt. And, you know, there's nothing worse than the feeling of finding that tech debt, right? Of like, of seeing it and going, God, I know I got to deal with this now and I forgot about it. But there's almost nothing better than the feeling of creating technical debt, like I did today when I deleted that time zone comment. That was just a weight off my shoulders. And it was, and that was brand new technical debt. I breathed life into it, I put it in the world. And in
six months from now, I'm gonna be going
through the Git history on that file, going like, what the fuck is going on here? Well, I wrote a comment saying that I should deal with this, but then I deleted it in the next commit, so it obviously wasn't an issue.
Well, you got this podcast for that, I guess.
I'll go back and listen to it. Like, I think I'll try and remember, right?
June or July.
Yeah. When was that? I think we podcasted about it. And then I'll just start making up shit that didn't happen. I was like, I think we actually did a live YouTube stream talking about it. But I'm looking at YouTube and we've never live streamed a goddamn thing. That's weird.
I think it was on Twitch.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Twitch stream. We did Twitch. It was right in the middle of coronavirus. I remember that. Alan was working in his shed.
Yes. Mm.
All right.
Wait, I'm confused. Are you saying we actually did that?
No, we didn't do any of that, except for the part where Alan's working in the shed. Like, that's true.
Yeah,
that part was true.
Yeah, no, that is true. Yeah. Sorry, somebody just sent me a picture. They were on the hike, and they were like, they sent me a picture, and they were like, we don't know what this is. And I'm looking at it going, that's a bear trap.
Oh, a bear trap?
No, track.
Track. Paw track. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be fun to tell them later.
Yeah.
I won't tell them now.
Yeah, oh, that's weird. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good call. That's
a big dog, I think.
Yeah. Really big dog.
Really big dog. Long claws.
It's a black bear. Yeah. They're, you know, you can fight back with those. In fact, you're supposed to. We camped.
Those Russians have us all convinced that they're tough because they fight bears. But yeah, I mean, they're just black bears.
Just black bears. Psh, you know, you just poke them in the eye. We camped in black bear country last weekend, and Paige was doing some bear research to understand you know, what precautions to take and stuff. And I read this phrase, I had never heard it before. It was if it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lie down. And if it's white, there was something really, I forgot it now. but it was regarding bears. Black bears, you can fight back.
If it's white, don't even try to fucking fight.
If it's white, you were fucked to begin with. Like, why are you fighting a polar bear?
Why are you in Antarctica?
Exactly. Like, you froze to death. You're dead.
The polar bears will hunt you.
Yeah.
If they smell you, they will hunt you for miles.
Yeah, because they ain't got nothing to eat up there.
They think he's got a Coca-Cola.
That's what it was.
I bet they have a Coca-Cola. I want that Coca-Cola.
That was the phrase. If it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lie down. If it's white, good night. Because you're already toast or something.
They don't
like
care.
That.
That's what they eat. They won't eat anything that's not meat. So that was
my knowledge. That's how I learned through that mnemonic device that you're supposed to fight back against a black bear. Play dead. You play dead against a grizzly bear.
They probably won't even attack you. And if they do, they have really sensitive noses. And if you hit them in the face.
That's what I always heard. Go for the face.
Hit them in the nose. That's always heard.
And the tradition.
Sounds like an experience. Willow, have you had to punch a black bear in the nose?
No, I've not.
Sounds like it's an experience.
She's prepared. She's prepared to.
Yeah.
And that's good. I guess like other animals, you know, being big and noisy, try and chase them off first. But the grizzly bear.
We were cleaning up around the house and the dryer vent had fell off. And so Alyssa's going to go put it back on. And there's like the kiddie pool over there and the grass has gotten kind of tall around it. And so like, first, I was like, wait. And I like kicked the pool a few times. I'm like, And I'm like, all right, now I'll put it on there. She's like, well, now I don't want to. And I was like, why? I scared everything.
Yeah.
Like, what you don't want to do is surprise Mr. Copperhead.
That's right.
Just make a lot of noise if you don't want to be eaten by a bear in the woods.
The reason why you fight a black bear and not a grizzly bear has got to be just your chances, right? Like,
I think,
like if you could actually do damage to a grizzly bear, you might fight. But a grizzly bear is like a rogue. Its base damage is high, and it critical hits every time. Yeah,
I think it's pretty tanky. I think
if you try and fight back a grizzly bear, if you were bigger, it might work. But like they just one shot you, and you're incapped.
I think it's pure hope. I'm Tyler Durden on this one.
Okay.
I think they tell you to lay down if it's a grizzly bear to give you some hope.
Yeah.
But I think you're screwed.
Yeah.
I think it's like the other one. If a grizzly bear wants to see what your head tastes like, I think it's going to.
It's going to find out.
Yep.
So you lay down just to like, hey, if you're going to die, get cozy.
Yeah.
Get comfortable.
Just relax. Don't panic.
Yeah.
You know, because they can run like I've heard like 30 miles an hour or something. Like, so I mean, you're not gonna outrun one. They can climb trees. They can knock over probably a tree you can climb. And I've heard that really the laying down, like
35 miles an hour.
Like, yeah, that's fast.
God, that is that's very fast.
That is very fast. And a grizzly bear, too. Can you imagine coming at you like 5 miles an hour?
How much does a grizzly bear weigh? Yeah. A grizzly bear weighs 600 pounds. A male. So a 600-pound animal running at you at 35 miles an hour, it could just run into you and kill you at that size. It could just blunt force trauma. It's just like,
hit and run.
Yeah, it's like getting hit by a four-wheeler.
Yeah. It's more likely to kill you than a bear.
What is?
A moose.
A moose? I've seen...
They'll just run you down and stomp you to death until you're dead.
A moose is a fucking big animal.
Yeah.
And I don't think you realize it till you see one. Mm-hmm. We saw one in Colorado, and it was walking next to the highway, which was scary. It was walking next to I-70, and... It was on the opposite side, but you could see it relative to a car next to it, and how much bigger a moose is than a car was a shock to me. Like a normal compact passenger car is a maybe half the size of a moose. It blew my mind. They're huge.
We're skewed because the white-tailed deer is kind of what we think, which is, you know, like a big goat. You know, they'll mess you up too. Like there, I remember this infamous video on America's Funniest Home Videos back in the day that this guy, you know, I said earlier, put the deer piss behind your ear. Like this guy literally did that and went to go hunting with his mossy oak. And this deer, don't put deer estrus behind your ear during the rut.
During rut, yeah.
And go out to the woods. Yeah. Like, yeah. 'Cause they, deer don't see so well. And he's gonna know what he smells.
Yeah.
And so it was. It's a hilarious video. While this deer angrily tries to court this man.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Tigers or people put a mask on the back of their head.
And then the tiger. Oh
yeah.
Looking at him.
Yeah.
Is that to spook the tiger?
Yeah, theoretically, they won't attack you unless if you're looking at them.
Ah, so got it.
They're not taking their chances. Yeah, you know?
it's like they're like the ghosts in like Super Mario 3.
Super Mario.
Yeah. If you turn your back to them, they attack.
They only attack you if they're weak or old, like injured or old, so they don't want to take a chance at a fight.
A face to face throwdown. It's good to know. I'm glad we could do this for our audience.
Yeah.
Because when they go on safari, you know, I don't know where you could use the tiger, moose, and bear knowledge simultaneously, except at some sort of zoo that's turned into like a Jurassic Park type situation where the animals have outsmarted the electronics. And Dennis Nedry locked everyone out, and you need to understand a Unix system to get in there and put it all back online. And that involves using a mouse and a VR headset.
I'll contribute to the animal knowledge. Hippos kill more humans every year than lions.
Hippos do?
Hippos are freaking horrible. They
are savage beasts.
You know, I would hate to be eaten alive by an animal that has like three teeth. Because that seems very blunt, is all.
Yeah. A lot of time to think about your regrets.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Mostly choosing to fight back against that hippo.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to lie down against a hippo, Tyrell, or are you supposed to...
Yeah, you lie down and you put your hands over the back of your head. And you cry softly to yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would just not ever go there. It doesn't seem like a good idea.
It's interesting that the same process for fighting off a hippo is the same thing you do in the event of a plane crash.
No reason to panic here.
No, just put your head between your legs, take some deep breaths. At least on planes, you get the pure oxygen. That gets you. Oh, it's like Tyler Durden says on the plane. So oxygen gets you high. Look at these people, calm as Hindu cows.
Carry an oxygen mask on safari.
Uh-huh. Good to know. I still have moose facts in front of me. A full grown male moose can get up to 1,500 pounds. Put that in perspective. That's about 2.5 times the size of a grizzly bear.
Wow.
That's a big fucking animal.
Well, he lives with the grizzly, so he's got a, you know.
I bet he does not lie down. He fights back. No. That's what happens, right? You and I.
He's got two clubs on his head, but he fights back with.
A black bear, 200 pounds. You and I fight back against that. Okay?
Yeah.
That's our size. That's people size. You have a chance. Moose can actually fight back against a grizzly. That's my assumption. I don't know if anybody's seen. I'm turning into Henry because Henry has discovered that YouTube is this magic thing on my phone that can literally conjure any video you could ever possibly imagine. So he just comes in and says, Dad, I want to watch a video about anything you can think of. And usually it works out. And so now I want to watch a video of a moose fighting a grizzly bear, and I will YouTube that after the show today.
Yeah.
And I might show it to Henry, depending on how, you know, nature is metal it is.
Yeah. Nature can get pretty metal.
Yeah, a little too metal for a three-year-old out there. We don't want him to see the stuff that he, you know, would normally see just walking the streets of America.
No doubt.
That would be too robbing him of his innocence to see violence.
Well, the world will crush his dreams, and you know why? Who are we to do that?
To be clear, that was me being snarky. There's no reason to There's no reason to shelter your kids these days. The world is plenty harsh enough. They will see far worse. Never mind. I was going to say, I almost got political. I'm backing up. So,
a 600-pound person up against a 600-pound tiger.
Or a grizzly bear, for that matter. They even
try to eat them. They're like, oh, hell no, that's not going to happen.
I don't know. I really don't know. That's the next thing I'm going to Google. That's after the moose fights a grizzly bear. I want to see like a really fat dude fight a grizzly bear.
Let's see what the grizzly does. They eat everything at once. Mm-hmm. Like as fast as they possibly can, and then they won't eat for months.
I don't know if a grizzly does that. I don't know.
Yeah, they do because they gotta hibernate.
That's true. They stock up.
They're packing calories. They're packing it in there as much as they can get.
I really don't understand. I know someone understands, but I don't. I don't understand how human beings survived, like prior to our use of tools.
I like to think,
and even the primitive tools.
Yeah, no, that's a great. I think it was basically dice roll, you know, because like
just safety and numbers. We just like just yeah. It was just pure stats.
I think we overwhelmed the jungles, mm-hmm. So we came out into the plains, and then we started standing on our hind legs to see what's over there, you know, and then it just worked out. Like we ran away from the right things at the right time.
I mean, obviously we did it, so it did work, and there's an explanation for it. I just don't know what it is.
It didn't work very well for a while.
There weren't
very many of us. It only recently has become a lot of people.
I think that's what it had. We had like literal safety in numbers. We had to like figure out how to herd up quickly. But like, Alan, you've got a tiny person that lives in your home. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine trying to survive like with predators and shit? How did we do that?
Yeah.
I can't. Here's something that you think would work as a parent and as an adult that doesn't, which is like being really serious to a small child and conveying with fear in your eyes that you need to listen to me right now. Okay. This is real shit. Don't make a sound. That doesn't work. Okay. That does not work at all.
You get the snarky grin like I got a
friend. Yeah, exactly. Like this sound? Blah! You know, like that's it. And I don't, how did we hide from bears? How did we do that? Little kids are just.
Same for a lot of animals.
Yeah.
Like the baby birds just jump off the cliff.
That's true.
That's true.
That's very
true.
They
jump out of their nest still today. Fledglings. We found some fledglings a couple years ago and went down that, you know, Wikipedia hole and figured out like what should we do with these? Oh man, he's out. He can't fly. Mm-hmm. And they're like, nothing. That's nature. That's what they do.
That's why they had so many.
Mom and dad will try and feed it and keep it alive. Maybe it'll make it. Maybe it won't.
A fledgling did not make it from the nest above the windows in our office. Now, and the bad news. I was up there the other day and I found a fledgling that attempted to fly a little too early.
Yeah,
and
all the way on the ground.
Learned about gravity, unfortunately.
All the way to the ground.
All the way to the ground. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's better than being stuck on the awning still.
Yeah. No, he wasn't like up there. No, he was a goner by the time I got to him. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That is pretty high.
It's a pretty high fall. And so, I guess that's what it was. We just had lots of kids and said, you know, one of them will make it. And
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know. I still just like it blows my mind when you see, in nature, an animal that's quite capable of holding its own and defending itself by 1 year old. And it's just like, have you met a 1 year old human being? They're not capable of defending themselves until they're like 13 years old. Maybe at that point they have a little bit of chance, but not against an adult.
But they have human worse being. Ideas.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah.
I think maybe they were able to defend themselves at a slightly earlier age.
I think that's true. I think their upbringing would teach them to be a little more aggressive. And against a lot of predators, they would stand a good chance. Against another human, not so much. You know, 13-year-old versus like 25-year-old, not good odds, you know.
Which was a big that was a big concern back then. I watched like Humankind or Mankind, the Story of Us on the History Channel a couple years back, And, you know, that's the thing you don't really think about. Cause I'm like you, Casey, I've spent a lot of time thinking about like saber-tooth tigers. Like, like what do we do with them back
then? Yeah. That's all I think about.
And, you know, and they pointed out that actually people was like our biggest challenge. Other people, you know, cause we still haven't
overcome that.
No, exactly.
If you haven't watched the news lately,
Exactly.
Our biggest threats are coronaviruses of multiple strains and other human beings. Most likely thing to get you.
Yeah, may be the same.
Where like chimps will make weapons and attack each other.
Chimps are fucking brutal.
They are vicious.
They are.
Except for the bonobo. The bonobo chimps are actually.
They're pretty good.
They're not vicious.
That's good to know.
They live in a matriarchal society, and they settle all disputes with sex.
Well, that's good for them.
Unfortunately, we're closer to chimps.
Good for them.
That's where we are.
I'm thinking of the chimps that eat people's faces.
Yeah.
And decapitate each other and carry their heads around.
Yeah, like that lady who had one, and then she's on the 911 phone call, and is like, he ate my friend's face.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can hear him in the background freaking out.
Yeah, getting his face
eaten. Yeah.
That's, so the chimp was like freaking out.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he was trying to get in her car and attack her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eat your face.
The whole exotic animal trade, man, is messed up. That I learned. That was especially eye opening watching Exotic Joe, and seeing just the market for it. That there people are like, I want a baby tiger, like, you know, and you don't think about that. It's gonna get bigger, and that's funny. That reminds me of a Jerry Seinfeld, his most recent stand up they did on Netflix, where he was talking about his daughter going to college, and all of his friends being like, "Oh man, like I'm sorry, that's so sad. How are you, you know, dealing with that?" He's all like, "Oh great!" Like he's like having a daughter is like having a baby alligator. Like at first, people come over and you're like, "Yeah, look, yeah, she's cute. She lives in the bathtub there, and yeah, you know, yeah, she'll kind of try and bite you, but you know, it won't hurt." And then it grows up, and you're just like, "I have to get this thing out of my house."
You're not supposed to keep your daughter in the bathtub. To be fair,
hey, that's very kind of
me. Yeah.
Some people act like their kids are pets, and so they don't properly teach them how to be human beings.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is the thing that happens.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody can hear in the background of my house, but I have a 3-year-old that is showing me how he could never survive in the wild. because I don't know what the problem is, but I can hear him screaming, and I imagine the level of outburst that he's having versus the level of problem he's actually experiencing is a very, very strong disconnect from is appropriate. Because it sounds like he's dying.
Right.
But what's probably actually happening is he tried to open a cabinet door and expected the hinges to be on one side, and they were actually on the other. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I wanted it to open a different way.
Sometimes this will happen. Like, you might think another adult is murdering the small human,
mm-hmm.
but actually they just put the toothpaste on the toothbrush.
Yes.
And didn't know the procedure. And
yes.
Then
yeah, the SOP.
Screaming,
yeah.
like you're skinning this human alive.
Yeah. I don't know if you have the refrain that we have in our house that has been steady for several months, and it's mm-hmm. even more intense every day, which is, I wanted to do it myself,
mm-hmm.
which is mm-hmm. everything. Opening doors, things that he can't do, like putting things in the microwave. Our microwave's very high. He can't put his own thing in the microwave, but he wants to do it himself.
Yeah.
There was this lady in the store the other day, and this kid sounded like he was getting murdered.
Mm.
Like, and he just would not stop for like 10 minutes. He was just screaming, and she wasn't doing anything. She was just like, be quiet, and just looking at stuff. And I was like, it's time to get out of the store.
Yep.
Come on, bro.
That's the only thing you can do in that situation. That's the thing. Yeah. There's no talking your way out of a meltdown
to everyone where you're not really saying anything, we're just, I'm sorry.
And all the other parents are looking at you like with the nod, like the nod that Lando gives to reveal that he's there in Jabba's palace. He's just like, yeah, I know what's up, you know? And that's how all the other parents are, if you're dealing with it. It's just like, yep, I can't do it. Because, like, in that situation, there's no, like, what you're describing is not a problem of, like, oh, I will make a quick adjustment to the situation and this goes away. That kid is hungry and done or sleepy or it's just been building over all day. Yeah, exactly. There's no resolution to that that doesn't involve like a total changing of scenery. You need a reboot at that point. And on that note, I was going to say, I think this is still carrying on behind me and I might have to go reboot a child. But it's that time of day, so.
Yes.
It's more embarrassing to not just go and be like, I'm going to get out of here, I'm sorry, than it is to just pretend like it's not happening.
Oh, like,
they're both kind of embarrassing, but, you know.
Because I can't help but wonder, like, you know, I mean, do you do that at home? Do you honestly not know that's happening right now?
You have enough of them. I don't know. I've just got the one. Maybe you got enough, you just, like, learn to tune it out as, like, a survival instinct.
Maybe that's how we survived all this time. You have 12 kids, and then you're just like, I don't know.
They're all screaming. You're like, yeah, whatever. If they get eaten, I'll have more, and I'll be quiet, so I'm safe.
They'll be safe now.
But if I spend too much time trying to figure out why all of them are screaming independently, I won't eat, and then I die. So I'm going to go have a burger. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, well, it's not like she had 5 kids with her, and she's just like over it. I think there was one.
Just
kid.
The one. I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
Hard to explain it. Well,
I think it's it's been a good week.
It's Friday.
Yeah. Yep. This episode ended up being about technical debt, kind of.
Technical debt and bears.
Technical debt and bears.
Technical debt, bears.
The theme is like, what degree of technical debt do you fight back against, and then which ones do you just lay down and die?
I like it.
And I feel like you lay down for time zone logic, period.
Nobody understands that.
Yeah, time zone, that's the grizzly bears of the software engineering world. All right, well, it's been a week. Yep. We'll see you guys. We'll have a good weekend. We'll talk to everybody next week. Sorry we missed you for a couple weeks, people. That's our bad.
Yeah, life happened.
Life happened. The world's crazy. You probably know. but we'll try and do better. I have peeked into the office a couple times lately. Since no one's up there, I'm going to give a virtual tour of the studio for the patrons. I think I'm going to post some. Although the studio has been cannibalized. As you can see here, I've got mic stands and stuff at home. I've taken a lot of the equipment home to try and produce as best as possible. So the studio is half torn down. But we do. I was walking through the other day. I was like, man, I miss being in the studio. Actually having human beings in the room and no delay. And
I go to the office. It's nice. It's nice to go get up there, get quiet sometimes. But if you go too many times, I find it's just depressing.
Yeah, it's kind of nostalgic.
I wish everyone else was here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe one day soon.
Indeed.
We're technically allowed to here in this state, but you know, we also technically don't have to. And I don't know. I want a vaccine or something.
Yeah.
Let's get this show on the road.
I'm gonna get out of here.
All right. See you, Willow. Okay. Have a good weekend. Alan, you too. Bye, everybody.
See you guys.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Friday Afternoon Deploy, recorded and produced by the team at Lofty Labs. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to future episodes via iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also follow @FridayDeploy on Facebook and Twitter for episode previews, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes peeks. Past episodes and show notes on this episode can be found at friday.hirelofty.com. That's friday.hirelofty.com. If you'd like to contact the show, or if you're local to the Northwest Arkansas area and would like to be a guest on the show, you can email us at podcast@hirelofty.com.